Aircraft modeling is certainly a hobby that has been around for a long time. In fact, it's been popular since the 1930s. And of course, it involves constructing small airplanes using materials such as balsa wood and foam, fiberglass. Of course, a vast array of designs are possible, from ultra simple gliders to highly accurate scale models. Airplane models that I put together were more of the plastic type with glue, but a model of the real thing. Well, in our lesson tonight, we will see that God wants, in particular, the pastor. But not only the pastor, but he wants all of us to be a model, to be an example of the real thing. And who is this real thing? It's the Lord Jesus. As believers, we are to be like him. When others see us, they need to see Jesus. They need to see what Jesus is like by looking at us. We are a type, we are an illustration of someone who looks like Christ. It has been said the single greatest tool of leadership is the power of an exemplary life. Another theologian has added, example is the most powerful rhetoric. Friends, a minister's life is his most potent message. So when he can back up his do as I say message with the life that says do as I do, I can promise you he will have the attention of his listeners and his message will then be credible. Have you ever listened to someone? Have you ever heard someone on the radio or watched on television or maybe even read a book, read one of his books, but you heard something about him that was not good? Maybe he had a situation in his life in which, you know, he didn't do what was right. Well, what do you remember? Do you necessarily remember what he said? No, you remember what he did. How that tends to just cancel out so much of the good that that man could be doing, could be bringing to pass for the Lord. Paul was such a model of spiritual virtue. And thus he could say, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. 1 Corinthians 4:16, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them who walk according to the pattern you have in us. And that's Philippians 3:17. And Philippians 4:9 says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and keep in mind, and I've told you this before, but this is a pastoral epistle. In fact, you have three pastoral epistles in the New Testament. You have 1 and 2 Timothy, and you have Titus. And so the thrust of these epistles, obviously, is how Timothy, how Titus, how any pastor is to conduct himself. What kind of man he is to be. And what Paul is laying out here in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy is the qualities of a good minister of Jesus Christ. And so far in this chapter, he has said, if you'll turn back to verse 6 of 1 Timothy 4, he says that a good pastor, a good minister of the gospel, faithfully warns people of error. Notice verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, and these things are what he just spoke in the first five verses of this chapter, speaking of people that forbid to marry and command to others to abstain from meat and so forth. Paul says to Timothy, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And then the second quality of a good pastor, a good minister, is he faithfully studies the scriptures. Verse 6 as well, he's nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. And then third, he personally avoids unnecessary exposure to wrong doctrine. Verse 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. The fourth quality, he exercises himself rather unto godliness. verse 7, the end of it, and exercise itself rather into godliness. Verse 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And then what we saw last week, he works hard. Verse 10, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. And then we said that a sixth quality of a good pastor is he teaches with authority. Verse 11, these things command and teach. Now this evening I want us to look at the next quality of a good minister of Jesus Christ, which is he is an example to follow. He is godly. He is virtuous in his living. Look at verse 12. You want to say it together with me? You can. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in spirit, in faith, and purity. I guess I left out charity there. Word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, and in purity. In this verse, we have six areas where a good minister is an example to the church. Let me just say this, and of course, again, the focus is on the pastor in this text, but you are to be an example as well. You are to be an example to those around you. They would include your children, your grandchildren, unsaved family members, friends. Think about that. Your life is to be so lived that you are a reflection of Jesus. How do people get to heaven? They believe in him. They put their faith in him. And we should so live that others will see this wonderful Savior and want this Savior, the one who has saved you, the one who has transformed you. What they see Christ in you, and they would want that to be their life as well. And so I encourage you to eagerly receive Paul's message. Again, we all, not just the pastor, but we all need to be an example. Paul reminded Timothy in verse 12, let no man despise, look down on your youth. The Greek word for youth or youthfulness was used to describe, thought this was interesting, anyone under 40. This time, Timothy was probably in his late 30s. The Greeks, as did most cultures, subordinated youth when it came to age, meaning if a man did not have age, he then had to, in other ways, earn his respect, prove his worth. And Paul says to Timothy, this is how you're to do that. Even in your youthfulness, you can be an example, a worthy testimony to follow. Now, the Greek word used here for example, be thou an example of the believer, means a pattern, a model, which tells us a pastor is to be the standard to follow. And that example is exhibited first in his words. What he says. And that really is convicting. And why is a pastor's speech, why is your speech, why is what we say so important? Because it reflects what is in our hearts. Hopefully we all have a heart that's a righteous heart. So what we say then is certainly should demonstrate a heart that's seeking after Christ. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 12, and here we have Christ speaking of a good heart, an evil heart. Notice verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth good things. Remember, out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Why? Because what we say declares what is in our hearts. If what you're speaking is good, you're an example of the believer in your words, then that demonstrates or indicates you have a good heart. What are some of the treasured words of a good heart? Well, let's look at what we shouldn't say, what we should avoid, and then what we should say, what we should be speaking for. If you'll look at Ephesians chapter 4, I know you're familiar with these verses, but in verse 25, Paul says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Just as your members of your body should not lie to one another, so the members of the body of Christ should not lie to one another. Every man speak truth to his neighbor. And of course, I think we understand the importance of that. But let's look at it from this perspective. When you speak truth to those around you, who are you portraying? You're portraying Christ. Christ says, "I am the way, the truth." He always spoke the truth. And so when you're a person who always speaks the truth, even when you know it might get you into trouble, you're an example of Christ. Satan is the father of what? Lies. A good treasured heart speaks the truth. A good treasured heart has controlled anger. Verse 26, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." There are times to be angry, amen? What would be an example of a time a Christian should be angry? When he sees injustice? I think a Christian should be angry against the abortions that are taking place. I think a Christian should be angry at the sin that's so prevalent in our world. "Be ye angry and sin not." In other words, our anger should always be balanced by God's mercy. We must abstain from impure speech. Verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." We must refrain from slander. Verse 31, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Slander, what is slander? It's when you defame others. You know, how good we are at putting others down, speaking about others in a really a damaging way. "Let all clamor and evil speaking be put away from you." But then positively, our treasured words, there should be an honesty about them, a truthfulness about them, an edifying quality about them. Paul says, a pastor's words, we read it earlier, are to minister grace unto the hearers, which means what you say, what I say, our word should have a decency, a decorum, a refinement, a charm, a compassion, a goodness, a kindness, a love, a tenderness about what we say. When you're around some certain people, you kind of walk away encouraged. There's just something about what they say. The encouragement they are to you, they just kind of build you up. They kind of leave a good taste in your mouth. You know, we need people whose words minister grace. And that's such a beautiful thing. I think sometimes we should just say, "Lord, all right, here's a conversation I'm having. Help me to know something encouraging, edifying to say to this person." But sometimes I think we can just be so negative around even our children. Positive thoughts, positive words bring forth positive attitudes. I think a pastor always, even when he's ministering something that's hard, I mean, something that's very convicting, I mean, that pastor needs to speak the truth, but he needs to speak it in a way that those people know that this man loves me, and this man loves me enough to speak the truth to me. But he's speaking the truth to me in love. It's so much easier to receive the truth when it's spoken with grace. And a second area, which Timothy was to be an example of the believer, was in his conversation, meaning his conduct. What is this saying? A pastor is to model righteousness, which requires that he practice biblical convictions in every area of his life. Please understand, preaching a Bible message, but then living an ungodly life is blatant hypocrisy. Again, what brings power, what brings authority to a pastor's message is a godly life. What brings credibility to your testimony is a godly life. Because of time, let me just give you these references. James 3:13, 1 Peter 1:15, 1 Peter 2:12. Timothy, you are to be an example in your conduct. Third, Timothy was to be an example in love. And this love is more than some emotional express feeling, oh, how I love you. No, we're talking here self-sacrificing service on behalf of others, serving others. We're talking here a pastor giving his time, his energy, his talents to the people he serves so that they can be strengthened and built up in the faith. And I want you to know I'm here for you. My door is open for you. Thank you for the way you serve this body. You know, people remember kind deeds. They remember kind deeds. Portion of Scripture, 1 Thessalonians 2:7 through 12. Timothy, be an example in how you love others, serve others. Timothy was to be an example in his spirit. And the word spirit here refers to the Holy Spirit, being controlled, being filled with the Spirit, and such a life that manifests the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. In fact, to be an example of the believer in all these areas requires a pastor to be under the control of the Spirit of God. And I cannot stress that enough. As Christ said in John chapter 15, without me, ye can do nothing. I think we forget what the word nothing means. It means nothing. And we think we can pull it off. We fall flat on our faces. Timothy, be an example in spirit. Fifth, Timothy was to be an example in his faith. And faith here does not refer to what a pastor believes, but rather to faithfulness, to a steadfast commitment to his calling. A dependable, a true pastor, minister, follows Paul's admonition in 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required of a steward that a man be found what? Faithful, trustworthy. A man who is faithful is trustworthy. You can trust him. A reliable, resolute minister of the gospel is laser focused. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He is faithful to his calling. What about you? Are you committed to the calling God has placed on your life? Or do you let the distractions of life get you off track? You know, when you look at life around you, you can get very discouraged. But when you focus on Christ, boy, it keeps you going. I can speak from experience. It keeps me going. Timothy, be an example in your faithfulness. So then one more. Timothy was to be a model, an example of purity. The Greek word used here refers to purity in the area of sexuality, both in his mind and his actions. Sexually, a minister is to be above reproach. He is to be a one-woman man. He is to flee also youthful lusts. There should never be any question in anyone's mind that the pastor is being anything but faithful to his wife and to her alone. So again, a pastor is to be an example of the believer in word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, and purity. He is to set a godly standard. He is to set a high bar for others to follow. And how needful, for Christ wants his church to be without spot, to be without wrinkle, to be without blemish. He wants this church and all other Bible-believing churches to be a glorious, holy church. And how we need for this pattern of living to come to pass, it needs to be modeled. There needs to be an example to follow. And that example begins with the pastor. It continues with the church leadership. And it should be reflected then in the members of that body of believers. But what a testimony to whoever walks through these doors. When that person can truly perceive in his mind and in his heart that this place is all about Jesus and becoming like him. It's not how good our programs are, and I love music. It's not how good even our music is, but what really ultimately matters is how much we are like Christ. And for that to happen, the pastor or pastors need to be like Christ. So you pray for me, and I'll be an example. That Pastor Beck will be an example of the believer in word, conversation, and charity, spirit, and faith, and in purity. May we reflect the Lord Jesus in these areas that we have studied, and we can do so by the power of the Holy Spirit.